I'll sleep on the floor like I should have known. Dreams are colors, but November is chrome. I've lost my way looking for more. Love's the burning blast, I don't need any more.
This is Thicker Than Water, Abandoned Vampire AU, written by Her Love Was a Joke and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13, contains the pairing of Brendan Urie, Ryan Ross, and is part 6 of the Screaming Down the Starlit Sky universe. For more content and author's warnings, please check out the introductory post on the live. The only thing Ryan wanted to do was go home. He was beyond exhausted, almost asleep on his feet, and he'd been counting down the hours until he could finally pass out. The last few days had been way too busy, and though a huge weight had been taken off his shoulders, he'd managed to avoid being kicked out of school by promising to hand in all the assignments he'd missed. There just weren't enough hours in the day to get everything done. Not when he needed to pick up as many extra shifts at the bookstore as he could possibly get. He didn't regret taking so much time off to stay with Spencer, but the missed time at school had gotten him in trouble, and the canceled shifts at work had left his bank account empty. Bill collectors, as it turned out, weren't patient people. And Ryan really didn't want to dip into what was left of his savings. It was surprising how quickly he'd gone through it, even while trying to be careful about his expenses. The store had been dead for the last hour, so Ryan was ready to leave as soon as the clock hit 9. He headed to the back room to collect his things, hefting his backpack tiredly to his shoulders, and looking around to make sure he hadn't left anything behind. He was slowly making his way to the front door, when he found Brendan sitting on the sales counter, swinging his legs back and forth. Ryan felt the first stirrings of interest as he watched Brendan. That familiar, hot sensation that made his skin feel prickly and almost too tight. The desire that settled low in his belly. But he was too tired to even focus on that. "You look like shit," Brendan said in greeting. "Oh, baby. You say the sweetest things," Ryan deadpanned. "You can't keep this up," Brendan said seriously. He slid off the counter and came to stand in front of Ryan, looking him over critically. He reached out, touching the dark circles under Ryan's eyes, and it was so much like the other times he'd done it that Ryan felt himself sway a little on his feet. The lack of sleep wasn't a bad thing this time, Ryan had to remind himself. It was just end-of-semester craziness. End-of-high-school craziness. He could handle it. That didn't stop him from leaning against Brendan when the vampire tugged him forward, though. "I want to see a movie," Brendan said. "Zzzz," Brian replied. "Then what?" He raised his head to look at Brendan. "That sounds suspiciously like a date." "I'm a vampire," Brendan said. "I'm pretty sure we don't date." "Huh." Ryan wondered if he was making the same expression as Brendan was. A little confused, kind of embarrassed. It was nice to know that even Brendan wasn't sure what the hell they were doing. It somehow left Ryan feeling slightly less off-kilter. Like he didn't have to worry so much if he wasn't worrying alone. There was something else there in that expression, though. Something that surprised Ryan to see. Defiance. Brendan might not know what the hell he was doing, but he wasn't ashamed of it. Ryan couldn't help but smile a little at that, some of his exhaustion disappearing in the rush of something the boy couldn't name. "Tomorrow," Brendan said. "You need to sleep." The walk to Ryan's apartment was spent in silence, with Ryan now and then bumping into Brendan on the sidewalk, veering to the left in his exhaustion. He forced his eyes open and did his best to walk in a straight line, thinking fleetingly of his bed and how he just had to get there. No, he still had homework to finish when he got home. He almost wanted to cry at the realization, but he pushed the feelings aside and wondered if he had any coffee left. There might still be a half jar of crappy instant stuff shoved at the back of one of his cupboards. It tasted terrible, but caffeine would definitely help him stay awake. Brendan ushered Ryan into the building and through the lobby, toward the elevator. It hadn't been working that morning when Ryan left for school, but building management had apparently gotten someone in to look at it. Ryan was shocked that they'd actually done their job in a timely manner, but he didn't expect it to happen again anytime soon. Once they got up to Ryan's apartment, Brendan crowded him up against the door, all but plastering himself against Ryan's back. This didn't stop once Ryan got the door open or stepped inside. Brendan's hands found Ryan's hips and led him straight to the bedroom. "Brendan, I have stuff to do," Ryan protested. "You need to sleep," Brendan said. "I haven't been human in 30 years, but I do remember that part." Ryan was momentarily distracted by that bit of information, and Brendan took full advantage of it, maneuvering Ryan closer to the bed and finally tipping him backward onto the mattress. He hadn't made the bed that morning, so it was easy for the vampire to pull the light blanket over him, covering Ryan from head to toe. Ryan fought his way out from under the blanket and smoothed his disheveled hair back down, glaring up at Brendan. "I have homework," he said. "The math fairy isn't going to visit me in the night, Brendan, and I need at least a B on this assignment to graduate." "Don't worry about it," Brendan said, brushing off his concerns. He reached out to smooth a lock of Ryan's hair that was still standing straight up from the static electricity. "You are not doing my homework for me," Ryan said. "Relax, it's math," Brendan said. If it was science, he'd probably end up with an essay plagiarized from Wikipedia. "Brendan," Ryan said. "Wait, how do you even know that?" "I'm a vampire, not a dinosaur. Now go to sleep." Ryan wanted nothing more than to argue, if only to show Brendan that he couldn't always have what he wanted. But he was just so tired, and the thought of actually getting more than 8 hours of sleep after averaging 4 or 5 a night was too tempting. He kicked off his shoes and wiggled out of his jeans, dropping them over the side of the bed. "Fine, you win. This time," he said. Brendan ignored him and squeezed his ankle over the blanket before getting up and leaving the bedroom. Ryan was asleep before he could worry about the state of his homework. They were given busy work from their math text, so their teacher could get a jump on marking their assignments. She started with Ryan's first. Combing through the pile to find his, Ryan noticed with a scowl. There was a suspicious look on her face when she called him up to her desk 10 minutes later to hand it back. "Congratulations, Mr. Ross," she said. "Perfect score." Ryan stared at the paper dumbly, mumbling something about a tutor as he rushed back to his seat. He wondered when his life finally got stranger than a badly written novel. Not even Spencer would believe it. Now that the pressure was on, Ryan actually made good use of his class time, and study hall finally proved useful. He sped through as much of his homework as he could, making a quick list of everything he'd still have to complete at home. The mountain of work seemed a lot more manageable after that, and he might even get it all done before Brendan showed up on his doorstep. For their... well, Ryan didn't know what to call it. It wasn't a date. Vampires didn't date. And if they did, it would probably involve lurking in the shadows or watching someone sleep in a slightly menacing way. He tried not to think about it, and instead threw all his effort into getting through his assignments, smiling every time he got to cross another one off the list. By the time sundown rolled around, Ryan had finished everything that was due in the morning, and even had enough time to shower and change. He felt kind of strange, dressed a little nicer than usual in dark pants and a red shirt with a deep V-neck, fidgeting as he sat on the fire escape. He had a feeling Spencer would laugh at him right about now, but they'd been friends forever, and Ryan had plenty of blackmail material of his own. "Are you waiting for me?" Brendan asked suddenly, appearing in the window. Ryan jumped, hitting the railing hard enough to bruise his arm. He glared at Brendan as he rubbed at the sore spot. "Breaking and entering isn't sexy, just FYI," he said. "You didn't even lock your door," Brendan scoffed, stepping back so Ryan could crawl in through the window. He looked the boy over, not bothering to be subtle about it. The attention made Ryan fidget under his gaze. He was hardly surprised when Brendan pulled him forward for a kiss. Kissing Brendan was always incredible. He took his time, all of his energy focused on the act, and never pulled back until he was good and ready. Ryan could already feel the burning in his lungs, the insistent need to breathe, but he stayed where he was, waiting to see how long he could last. Brendan pulled away a few moments later, and Ryan drew in a shaky breath. He barely had time to finish when Brendan kissed him again, taking hold of Ryan's waist and turning him toward the bed. Ryan was on board with that plan.
Really, he was.
But he couldn't help but feel a little disappointed to realize that they most likely were going to spend the evening in his apartment. He hadn't gone out in so long, and he missed it more than he'd thought. Going out was normal, and Ryan was ready for things to be normal again. Or, as normal as catching a movie with your undead creature of the night could be, anyway. "Movie starts in half an hour," Brendan said, pulling away after another minute. Ryan blinked at him, a little dazed, before pursing his lips and ducking his head to hide the blush that threatened to creep up his face. Brendan laughed a little, but it was more amused than mocking, so Ryan let it go. They hurried downstairs and around the corner, where Brendan had left a light blue convertible parked at the curb. It was flashy and had already attracted attention. Ryan supposed owning the police had its advantages, and then immediately felt guilty for it. Stealing someone's car was wrong. It made no sense that Brendan would know how to find stuff on the internet, but still bought into the image enough that he resisted owning a car. They bypassed the cheap cinema near Ryan's apartment in favor of a fancier, more expensive one across town. Since it opened last year, Ryan had only been there twice, both times with Spencer. The movies shown there were newer, and ticket prices almost double. Ryan resolutely decided not to worry about the cost. He deserved to have some fun, especially after everything he'd had to deal with. Ryan managed to slide his money across the counter and pay for his own ticket before Brendan could do it, smiling sweetly to cover his discomfort. He might not want to worry about money, but he didn't feel right about not paying his own way. Letting Brendan cover his expenses would only undermine everything Ryan had been saying about not wanting to be kept. Brendan frowned, but didn't say anything about it. Ryan considered it a small victory. The movie was nothing more than explosions with the barest hint of plot. Brendan kept his eyes on the screen, engrossed in the special effects, trying to take it all in like a person who hadn't seen a film in years. Which, Ryan supposed, was probably true. He didn't give it much thought, though. As soon as the feelings of nervousness began to fade, he realized just how tired he still was, mentally exhausted from having been so focused throughout the day, and physically run down from days and days of the same monotony. He ended up dozing against Brendan's shoulder, Brendan's arm wrapped around him, holding him close. He blinked awake as the lights came on,
smiling apologetically for having fallen asleep.
His back was stiff from being slouched over, and he stretched, arms reaching high above his head, tired muscles pulled taut. Ryan should have expected Brendan's hand to skim across his stomach, but he jumped at the touch anyway. "Tickles," he said. Then, "I'm hungry." "We can grab something on the way back to your place," Brendan said, steering Ryan toward the stairs with a hand on his hip, as though there was nothing at all strange about two boys touching each other that way. Ryan didn't know if he admired that or not. They separated so Ryan could use the washroom, Brendan wandering around to look at the rows of movie posters in their cases on the walls. Ryan took his time, more on principle than because he needed to, and later made his way out to the lobby, looking around for Brendan. He didn't find him at first, and was grumbling under his breath about how they'd end up walking in circles, looking for each other, when he caught sight of the vampire standing away from the crowd, halfway down a corridor marked Employees Only. He wasn't alone. There was an older woman standing with him, one hand on his shoulder, holding Brendan to the wall. Her stance was aggressive, her face twisted into an expression of hatred. Ryan stood rooted in place for a long moment, his gaze flicking from her slightly graying hair to the tense muscles in her shoulders, to her dark, angry eyes and full lips pulled back in a sneer. She was a hunter, he realized. He didn't even need to see the small vial of holy water in her hand to know it. Brendan, for his part, was just standing there. Ryan had never seen him stand so still. Couldn't imagine him ever allowing someone to touch him that way, to spit insults in his face. Brendan might get a lot of shit from some of the other dandies, Mike in particular, but he was powerful in his own right, was more than capable of snapping that woman's hand clean off and skipping away with a smile on his face. He wasn't doing that now. He didn't even look angry, and that's what scared Ryan the most. The vampire's face was blank. There was no expression at all, and it gave Ryan chills to see it. The woman's hand began to move, fingers tightening around the vial, and Ryan moved before he could think about it, reaching for the fire alarm and pulling the lever. Both Brendan and the hunter turned toward him then, searching for the source of the noise. Ryan watched recognition return to Brendan's eyes, and then the vampire was standing in front of him, sheltering Ryan with his body, trying to hide him from view. There was a low growl in Brendan's chest, and Ryan couldn't help but feel a little breathless, knowing that it only took being reminded of his presence for Brendan to snap back to himself. The woman eyed Ryan with distaste, the blind hatred in her eyes sending a shiver racing down his spine. She took a half step closer, and Brendan growled again, louder this time. Before she could do anything else, the vampire turned, grabbing Ryan and making use of his speed and strength to disappear out the nearest emergency exit, all but carrying Ryan out to the parking lot. The tension in Brendan's body was a little frightening. Ryan knew better than to ask what had just happened, but he couldn't help but stare at Brendan's profile, silently willing him to explain. He didn't. They drove around for the better part of an hour, and a distant part of Ryan's mind pointed out that Brendan was making sure no one had managed to follow them. "Who was that?" Ryan wanted to ask. "Were you just going to let her do it?" He kept silent and didn't complain when Brendan double-parked and ushered him up to his apartment. "Lock the door and the windows, and for fuck's sake, Ryan, stay inside," was all that Brendan said once they were standing in his small living room. Brendan didn't even try to kiss him before he left. It was just one more thing to put on his list of things that weren't like Brendan to do. He did as Brendan asked without complaint, and as he made the rounds of his apartment, securing latches and drawing the flimsy chain across the door. Ryan did his best not to wonder where Brendan was at that very moment, whether he'd gone back to find the hunter, or if he was choosing to ignore what had happened. He was pretty sure, judging by Brendan's previous reaction, that it was probably the latter. Ryan didn't know how to handle that. He had such a strong image of Brendan Urie and who he was, what he was, and that blank, empty expression on his face didn't fit anywhere in that representation. He spent the next night at Spencer's house. Ryan felt a little bad about having invited himself over, especially since Spencer seemed to have plans. Or something as close to plans as you could have with a vampire who spent his time running the city and putting down minor revolts. Ryan just waved Spencer off, helping him out the window with a promise to cover for him if his parents tried to check up on them. Ryan didn't allow himself to be lonely, and he certainly didn't spend his evening worrying about the hunter. He left a quick message for Brendan and didn't mention anything out of the ordinary at all. Maybe if he pretended nothing was wrong, the universe would finally smile on him. The universe, as it turned out, was a bitch, because Ryan woke up to find John Walker leaning over him. He jumped backward, hitting his shoulder against the wall and looking around, momentarily disoriented by the room that looked nothing like his own. He blinked, and then remembered where he was and why he was there. Spencer was standing by the window, his arms crossed as he regarded Ryan with a serious look. Ryan glared at him over John's shoulder. "Ryan," John said, straightening up and making use of the current height difference. Ryan was tempted to get out of bed to even things out. "John, I see you walked Spencer right to his bed. That's..." Ryan wasn't able to finish his sentence before John was speaking over him. "Is there something you want to tell me, Ryan?" he asked. Ryan couldn't stop his spine from stiffening, or his teeth from biting into his bottom lip. His eyes flickered over to Spencer before sliding away again, focusing on a poster just over John's shoulder. Was there something that he wanted to tell John? Was what happened at the theater something John should know about? The dandies were all about their hierarchy, and their leader made a point of knowing what his people were up to. But John let them have their space, so long as their actions didn't affect the gang or reveal their presence to more humans than strictly necessary. Would he really care about Brendan's encounter with some random hunter? "She wasn't just some random hunter," a voice in Ryan's mind argued. "She had power over Brendan." It was true. Brendan hadn't even fought back, not until he realized that someone else's safety was at stake. Ryan could tell John all about it, just open his mouth and let the whole story spill out. John wouldn't even laugh at him if Ryan admitted how scared he'd been to see Brendan so closed off afterward. Even worse than he'd been back in the beginning, when Ryan was nothing more than a game to be won. He could say all those things, except he knew exactly what would happen afterward. John would find the hunter, and they would never find her body. "No," Ryan said, shaking his head firmly. "I have nothing to tell you." Ryan's life may have become one giant slippery slope, but he had to draw the line somewhere. "And you're sure about that?" John pressed. "Absolutely," Ryan repeated. John fixed him with a serious look, and the boy thought for sure that the vampire was about to call him on the lie. He didn't, though, just shook his head and turned away, saying a quiet goodnight to Spencer and disappearing out the window. Ryan sat in the middle of the bed for a minute, taking deep breaths and wondering when his heart had started to race. "Ryan," Spencer began, finally stepping away from the window. I know something's wrong. Fuck you, Ryan said, throwing the sheet back and jumping to his feet. Fuck you, Spencer! Don't fucking yell at me, Spencer said, closing the distance between himself and Ryan in two long strides. You're the one who is hiding here! So you sick a fucking vampire on me? Ryan demanded. That's a great idea! He started hunting around for his jeans and shoved his feet through the legs, jumping up and down to pull them up over his boxer briefs. Keep your voice down, Spencer said. My parents are asleep. I know that, Ryan snapped. It's the only reason I haven't started choking you. He reached for his backpack and slung it over his shoulder. Where are you going? Spencer asked tiredly, sinking down onto his bed. Home, Ryan said simply. It's 1 in the morning, Spencer pointed out. The streets don't roll up at midnight, Ryan ground out. Spencer followed him to the front door, trying to convince him to stop being stupid, going so far as to grab hold of his wrist, but Ryan wouldn't listen. For fuck's sake, at least let me drive you home, Spencer said, his voice sounding almost desperate. Ryan paused then, his shoulders slumping. He rubbed at his face and realized how damn tired he still was. It was a long way home, and he didn't exactly live in the best part of town. Vampires weren't the only scary things walking the streets. I just want to go back to bed, he said, waiting to see if Spencer was willing to drop the argument. Okay, Spencer said, sounding incredibly relieved. He stepped back from the doorway and let Ryan slip back inside. Neither of them spoke as they made their way back upstairs. Ryan had a shift at the bookstore right after school the next day. He hurried over as soon as the bell rang, hoping to have enough time to at least grab something to eat before he had to start. He'd had a terrible headache for most of the day, from spending half the night lying in Spencer's bed, staring at the ceiling and pointedly not talking to his best friend. Spencer didn't look much better than Ryan did, but at least he could go home and take a nap. Ryan got there with 10 minutes to spare. He made short work of the sandwich he'd ignored at lunch before clocking in and hurrying to the front desk. Mrs. Elliot was filling out some paperwork, and she shuffled it all into a folder when she saw him approach. "Have you been sleeping?" she asked, looking him over critically. Ryan looked down at the floor and told himself to stop fidgeting. This wasn't his mother, no matter how much she seemed to act like he was hers to look out for. "It's just the usual end of year work," Ryan said. "Term's just about over, and then it'll be exams." She tisked at him and shook her head, but dropped the subject. After collecting her stuff, she handed him a to-do list and headed to her office to grab her purse. By the time she left, Ryan was glad to be alone. Working at the bookstore was tedious at best, spent shelving books and making sure things stayed where they were supposed to be. A few hours of monotony would keep him busy, keep his mind from wandering too far. Thinking about Brendan and the hunter was only going to confuse him more. It was best to just pretend it hadn't happened. That was easier said than done when the woman walked through the door, pausing near the counter and sizing him up like she would an animal that needed to be put down. "What are you doing here?" Ryan asked, pleased that he was able to keep his unease out of his voice. His gaze flicked quickly to the clock. Sunset wasn't for another 2 hours. "I'm sure he thought he was doing you a favor by driving around for so long before bringing you home. But really, he picked the wrong car for that," the woman said, her tone telling Ryan exactly how little she thought of Brendan's plan. "People notice fancy convertibles and people who drive like maniacs." "Fucking Brendan and his need for shiny things," Ryan thought darkly. He'd known that Carl was trouble. He just shrugged, though, not knowing what to say. I can't say I'm surprised that he found some pretty young thing, the woman said. I'm not even surprised that you're a boy. We always suspected Brendan was that way. You don't know anything, Ryan said. He moved away from the bookshelves he'd been working on, not wanting to be crowded up against anything if things got violent. He was pretty skinny and had never actually thrown a real punch in that kind of situation. Not one that had connected, anyway. And the woman was slim and athletic. Obviously well-trained, given her profession. He probably didn't stand much of a chance, but he wasn't going down without some kind of a fight. When had this become his life? A few months ago, the worst thing he had to worry about was making rent. Now he had to deal with people wanting to hurt him, or worse. Was it worth it? I don't know anything, the woman said. Of course I do, Ryan. You live in the Careview Apartments, a real dump, I might add, and you're an emancipated minor. You turn 18 this summer, and your best friend is named Spencer. Also, you're fucking a vampire who has done everything but tote you around town and pat your head, and everyone knows who you are. How's that for not knowing anything? Who told you that? Ryan demanded, taking half a step forward. It was dizzying to know that people knew who he was. It shouldn't have been so surprising. He was marked, after all. Word must have gotten out somehow. But knowing something as a vague concept and actually being presented with the proof of it were two very different things. Hunters do work together, the woman replied. We share information that will keep us safe. Information like how your friend Pete and his sad little friends might have gotten a little too close to the vamps for their own good. That story spread like wildfire, you know. There always was something off about those boys. Pete. Fuck, if they knew about Pete, they'd kill him, Ryan thought. And judging by the woman's dark expression, Patrick, Andy, and Joe wouldn't be far behind. She'd mentioned Spencer by name. Ryan fought against the feelings of fear and desperation that clawed at his stomach. What do you want? Ryan asked, his voice flat, emotionless. Better to show her that than to let her know how scared he was. Where was Spencer? Had he made it home? For that matter, where was Brendan? He'd never returned Ryan's call last night. John had seemed concerned when he asked if Ryan had anything to tell him. No, Ryan thought, cutting off that train of thought before he could get himself too worked up. He wasn't going to think of that. If Brendan hadn't come home, Ryan would know. Someone would have told him. He ignored the part of his mind that asked, how? They'd have given Brendan until sunrise to come back to the safe house. They'd have all fallen asleep shortly thereafter. I want to make sure you understand just what you're doing, the woman said simply. You're young, Ryan, and by all accounts, Brendan is pretty powerful. It would have been so easy to just slip you a suggestion, to make you give in. It wasn't like that, and the thought angered Ryan. Yeah, there was a lot of it that he didn't like, but he wasn't being forced to stay. For every one thing that bothered him, there were two that were amazing, even if it sometimes did feel like an uphill battle to get Brendan to treat him less like a pet and more like a person. Ryan was smart enough to keep that observation to himself. Or maybe you're one of those kids who think vampires are romantic, she continued, all tortured souls and bad cliches. Hardly, Ryan said. There was nothing tortured about Brendan. He liked his life, liked the power that came with it, the sense of belonging and family he had with the Dandies. But there was more than that. Ryan saw it when Brendan walked beside him in the park, senses attuned to everything around them. When he rolled his eyes and reminded Ryan, matter-of-factly, that he was a vampire. He liked what he was, and made no apologies for it. It was possible that Ryan had been a little more aware of things than he'd thought at the time. "So I guess you're just the sort who doesn't care that they kill people," the woman said angrily, taking a few steps forward. Ryan forced himself to stay where he was, not to run away. He wasn't going to appear weak, not in front of her. Ryan didn't even bother to tell her that the vampires didn't always kill their victims. There were enough of them that did, every time, and he tried not to lie to himself about that stuff. They killed, and they made sure the police never bothered to solve the cases. They were vampires who saw humans as nothing more than cattle, food to be herded, eaten. But they weren't the vampire who disobeyed William Beckett to keep him safe. They weren't the one who'd thrown himself in front of a hunter to keep the threat away. Ryan was surprised by how confident he was in that, how strong the instinct to reciprocate had become. He'd felt it at the theater, but this was different. His body wasn't acting on impulse. He had time to think about it now, to make an actual choice. "It's like you said, I'm the sort who's marked," Ryan told her. "I'm the sort who should probably be dead 3 times over by now, given where I live and what I've seen. What about you?" "I'm the sort who doesn't let the past dictate my actions in the present," the woman said. "Didn't think so," Ryan replied. "The family resemblance is pretty clear." "That it is," the woman agreed. The bell above the door rang, startling Ryan. He jumped, turning toward it and finding Mrs. Elliot with a flustered smile on her face. "My wallet wasn't in my purse," she explained with a laugh. "It must have fallen out when I knocked it over." "I hope you find it," Ryan said, just because he felt weird not saying anything to her. When he turned his attention back to the hunter, he saw that she was making her way toward the door, not wanting to continue her conversation with Ryan if someone else was within earshot. She paused in the doorway and fixed him with a serious look. "We're not finished here," she said matter-of-factly, as though Ryan was stupid enough to think that they were. He didn't bother to reply, just watched her push open the door and disappear outside. He stood where he was until Mrs. Elliot returned, waving her wallet in the air. He smiled at her, willing her to walk faster so he could make his way to the phone and call Spencer. As soon as the door swung shut, he took off like a shot, fumbling with the old cordless phone they kept just under the counter. Yeah, Ryan still had to draw that line, but he'd make sure Brendan was on the right side of it. "Spence?" he asked, a little breathlessly when Spencer finally answered the phone. "Ry?" Spencer was groggy, having just been woken up from his nap.
What's wrong?"
"I need you to call John," Ryan said. "Get him to meet me at work." "Are you okay?" Spencer asked, instantly awake and alert. "I'm fine," Ryan said, even though he didn't feel fine. "Just call him, please." "I will," Spencer said. "Thank you," Ryan replied. John showed up shortly after sunset, looking serious and making it clear that he had little time to waste, both with body language as well as a curt yes as soon as he walked into the store. Ryan didn't have to worry about looking like an idiot or, worse yet, someone without a conscience, because the story came tumbling out as soon as John was close enough that Ryan didn't have to shout. John didn't say anything, other than telling Ryan that someone would be around to make sure he got home safely. And no, it wouldn't be Spencer, not until everything was over and done with. Ryan tried to still the tremor in his hands. He knew what that meant. He wondered how it would happen, if she'd see it coming, if she'd take anyone else down with her. There was no doubt in his mind that the Dandies would eventually win the fight. At 9, 2 vampires showed up to walk Brendan home. He felt ridiculous walking alongside them. He didn't know either of their names, and it was clear that neither of them were in the mood to talk. Ryan wondered if word traveled fast, if they were unhappy with him, or if they just didn't enjoy babysitting someone else's boy. The apartment was dark and empty when Ryan got home. He let out the breath he'd been holding, and realized he'd hoped Brendan would be waiting for him. That was stupid. Brendan had stuff to deal with. Ryan went straight to bed, and though it took him hours to fall asleep, eventually he did. He didn't know how long he'd been sleeping when he woke up again. He knew before even opening his eyes what had done it. He could feel the solid line of Brendan's thigh against his side, the expensive fabric of Brendan's shirt against his bare arm. The vampire was sitting next to him, propped against the headboard, staring at the wall. "Bren?" Ryan asked, moving to sit up. Brendan's hand on his chest kept the boy where he was. Ryan had a moment to wonder what was wrong before Brendan was moving to lie next to him, their heads close, almost on the same pillow. He didn't look Ryan in the eye. "We stay close to home," Brendan said softly. "We don't really understand it, but it's an instinct just like any other. It wasn't always like that, you know. Not until we settled in the cities and started making homes for ourselves. John remembers the time before it, when we didn't get this kind of itchy feeling under our skin every time we left our territory. This urge to just keep moving until we were back again." His voice was flat, and he stared at Ryan's collarbones instead of anywhere near his face. "It gets dangerous after a while," Brendan continued. "You get paranoid, start to see all these strangers as enemies instead of allies. The older ones are able to shrug it off much easier than the young ones. I can only go a couple of weeks before it gets to me." Ryan didn't know what to say to that. Brendan so rarely offered up any information about what it was like to be a vampire. He wasn't quite sure if he wanted to hear more or not. "Sometimes it causes problems," Brendan said. His fingers played over the edge of the light blanket covering Ryan's chest. "We stay close to home, and sometimes old knives come back to haunt us." "She's your sister," Ryan said softly, when it was clear that Brendan wasn't going to go on. The vampire nodded once, the movement jerky and nothing like the elegant grace with which he usually moved. Ryan reached out and closed his fingers around Brendan's hand, the one that was still playing with the blanket, and dragged it across his chest, resting the palm over the steady beat of his heart. Brendan's sister was dead, and Ryan had done it just as surely as if he'd been there himself. It was probably stupid to want to remind Brendan of that other instinct, the one that kept him coming back night after night, but it was all he could do, the only apology he could offer. "Was she a hunter before?" Ryan asked, not sure if he should ask or even if Brendan would answer. "No," Brendan said. "That came after, because of me. I think that's why Beckett sent me to Brian with John. I didn't take the news well." "I told John about her,"
Ryan whispered, the confession hard to voice. I know, Brendan sighed, finally meeting Ryan's eyes. I should have done it myself. The look on his face was despondent, and Ryan couldn't stand to see it. It couldn't have been easy, but Brendan talked through it, telling Ryan about his family and the way he'd been as a human. Ryan listened with rapt attention and curled up against Brendan's side, trying to picture it all and feeling a little dizzy with the way his perceptions of Brendan shifted and stretched, reordering itself into something new. Something better. The obituary ran a few days later. Joanna Yuri, 54, single, no children. It listed the many family members who would miss her. It carefully didn't mention being predeceased by brother Brendan, 21. The end.